You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
And putting children away into a soft slumber of cryosleep, oh, only to man. Find out like, that nah, you just burn them with hot kids. Blue fire.
Spoilers. they're burning them kids.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Super Action Bros.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Welcome to the final movie of our Netflix and Kill series, a series where we realize there's not as many action movies on Netflix as we would like.
That's not true. There's plenty. There's just
there are. We watched three. I would argue three action movies.
Yeah, yeah. Mute doesn't really count.
No. And this one, I would say, probably was the most in our wheelhouse. And yep. I didn't even know this movie existed until I heard about it and we watched it for the show. It's a little movie called What Happened to Monday, from 2017. It was released, I think, August of last year.
Yeah, yeah. I remember hearing a little bit of pre-release stuff about it.
So we'll talk about that this evening, day, whenever you're listening to this.
This episode.
But before we get into the show itself, I want to let you guys know how you can reach out to our show. If you like our stuff and you're like, hey, I want to know more. Tell me more, please. If you want to be like Kanicki and the boys or Rizzo and the girls... and be told more, you can do that.
I hate that stupid movie.
I do too.
No, you don't. You know the names of the characters.
Know your enemy.
I'm shaking my head, but you can't
hear it over the mic. I know it because it's a pop culture staple. I don't care for Grease.
Grease is not the one that I want ever.
Yeah. That's
ooh.
Well, now how do I know you don't like it?
Because I hate it.
So you can do that by going to our website, stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Click on the Super Action Bros artwork. You can listen to all of our old episodes there. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Reach out to us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, if you still have your account, Tumblr, Instagram, and
we haven't.
And also Letterboxd. No, we haven't. I still have mine.
I checked my account, didn't get compromised. Mine nobody did, I know did that stupid thing.
Some dummy probably did, but not me. But nah, I don't really care. If somebody steals my identity, we'll deal with that then. Please don't steal my
identity. Why would they? They'd come back to you and be like, I'm sorry, man. I didn't realize how hard it was.
I'm sorry. I don't want all this debt. It's not like I have like hundreds of thousands of dollars available in credit cards. I don't. Just spoiler alert. You can do that. You can also reach out to us individually on the internet. For me, Ian, you can find me on the internet at iRich. That's at iRitch.
I'm on Twitter also, Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also shoot us an email and we'll read here on the show. If you click on the contact us button and, shoot us an email, we'll read it here on the show for you. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So, what happened to Monday?
What did happen to Monday?
Well, we find out in the spoiler alert.
This is probably the most under-the-radar Netflix original movie that we watched.
And I have to say, I'm surprised because, in my opinion, out of all the ones we watched, this one was the best one.
I agree. I feel like this one is the one that feels the least
it's Netflix. This one actually had
this
some,
one doesn't
like,
feel like a direct-to-DVD release.
See, I understand. Ryan made a good point, which is like this probably wouldn't have done as well in a movie theater, but I'm like, but it could have. It could have had a chance.
I mean, really, the reason it wouldn't have done as well in the movie theater is because it doesn't have any enormous stars.
That's true. It does not.
And it doesn't based on a property that people already know about.
That's right. That's true.
It has none of those things going for it.
But it would be like one of those movies you're like, oh, did you hear about this?
Yeah, it would be like a word-of-mouth viral thing, but really... Netflix is perfectly situated to capitalize on word of mouth viral things for movies.
Because the premise,
that's how we heard about it. My sister was like, "Hey, you guys should watch this."
The premise of this movie is so like, I'm going to say silly, but I don't mean silly in a bad way. It's like silly good movie
it's super solid.
The premise is so good. You're like, this is a great premise for a movie. Like, hey, here's this thing. What could happen? And it's like, I want to find out. I want to know. So a brief premise of the movie is there is a future society in which there was massive, basically all the damage we've done to Earth comes back to haunt everybody. And they have a food shortage and they end up making like super GMO foods.
But there's also overpopulation. There's too many people.
Well, that happens because of the super GMO foods.
I think it's also happening along with the
food
shortage.
I mean, it's overpopulation already, but they run out of food. They start making these super GMO foods that are like, oh, there's so much. We have so much abundance. But it also causes like the human side effect of, yeah, but everybody's giving birth to four babies at a time. Like, yeah. And so the government,
humans are rabbits.
The government institutes this program where essentially they say, "Hey, we'll, you know what? Every family gets one kid."
Yeah, the government, but yeah. you never get more than that if it's
no.
Who government? Or yeah, where government?
They never really say. Are they say even say what city they're in?
No.
No,
it's not.
It seems like America because yeah, Glenn Close is American.
And
woman.
She definitely has an American accent. She's not going for like yeah. some sort of vaguely
Man,
European.
Glenn
accent.
Close, by the way, we'll talk about her in the cast section. But she's like the go-to for like evil. You want an evil woman? Glenn Close.
Ever since
Fatal Attraction, yep. right? Yeah. yeah. Basic Instinct's the other one.
Yeah. No, that's not her.
I know they have such similar titles, and you always get them confused. So yeah,
I haven't seen either one.
So there is this Fatal Attraction's pretty good. Okay.
Both of those movies are well known for being erotic thrillers.
Erotic. What was that? Erotic. Sorry, Futurama joke. So there's a huge overpopulation in the future. And so they institute this act where every family gets to keep one child, and the other one's going to, quote, cryo sleep to be unthawed when the problem is solved.
Spoiler alert, they're killing them.
Yeah, spoiler alert, there's no such thing as cryo sleep. So Willem Dafoe seems to be a very rich gentleman, and his daughter passes away, giving birth to 7 identical twin daughters. And he names them all each a day of the week and decides that because they're all identical twins, the only way for them all to survive and live is for each of them to pretend they're one person and to live
no,
out.
No, rather for all of them to pretend that they are one person.
That's what I'm saying.
Not
like,
for each of them.
For each of them together to pretend like they are one person, and everybody gets to go out one day of the week. And the first thought in my head when Matt and I started watching this, my roommate Matt was like, no wonder what happened to Monday. Her life sucks. She has to go out
every day that
Monday?
She goes outside is a Monday.
Saturday and Sunday must have like, and that I thought that was really funny that they made Saturday kind of like
the
dumb,
party girl,
ditzy party girl. I'm like, she never had to go to school.
And then
of course.
Sunday's like the you know the one who wears a dress all the time.
They actually do a good job of like religious.
Let's talk about who made it, and then we'll get into it. I will say
this movie does a good job of one thing, which is delivering on every question you have, it is usually answered.
Yeah.
We'll talk about how this in such great ways. So, who made this movie, Ryan?
So, the movie was written by Max Botkin, and actually the script was... it was on the Blacklist in 2014 or 2015.
Like John Wick?
Yeah, the Blacklist is a group of unproduced scripts that is announced every year of like the best unproduced scripts in Hollywood, basically. It's a group of writers and readers who read through all these different scripts and like, yeah, these are the ones that they should have made. So it's made by Matt Botkin and Kerry Williamson. Kerry Williamson, from what I can tell based on her IMDb profile page, is a script doctor.
That's what it seems like.
And Max Botkin, boy, he has not written a lot of other stuff that's good, or stuff at all.
That's true.
Which is, you know, he's kind of like maybe now. Yeah, he wrote an episode of Wolverine and the X-Men, the animated show from 2008, and now he's got some more stuff on the market.
Oh man, this guy also did. I didn't realize this guy also wrote 2 horror movies that I've been wanting to watch forever.
Oh really?
The director of the movie, I mean.
Oh, he directed?
No, the guy who directed the movie.
Oh, yeah. So Max Botkin wrote it. So it's directed by Tommy Wirkola.
Who directed a
movie we've actually watched on the show.
Max Botkin wrote a movie called Show Dogs, which I imagine is some sort of sequel to Snow Dogs.
Oh, I kind of hoped it was a sequel to Beverly Hills Dog Hotel.
Also, Hotel for Dogs.
So the director, Tommy Wirkola, he directed Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Yes.
He also directed Dead Snow and Dead Snow 2.
I've been wanting to watch those movies forever.
Those are the Nazi zombie movies.
Yeah, they're like Nazi zombies in the Swiss Alps snow movies. I'm like, that sounds like
something
I'd
But I mean, we both really enjoyed Hansel and Gretel Witch
Hunters. We did. It was
like,
incredibly
way better than
underrated.
We expected it to
be.
Yeah,
it was incredibly underrated.
And this director wrote both Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters and both of the Dead Snow movies as well. So this is really kind of his first movie that he hasn't written that he's directed.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that he had made Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, I was honestly expecting this movie to be a bit more over the top than it was.
Yeah.
And so knowing that, it's like a very well done, restrained movie. It's a movie...
Comparatively.
Yeah, I'd call it like an action thriller.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Oh, you're on the edge of your seat the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you
they do
pay
a really
for
good
the whole
job.
The whole seat. you know, $9.99 per month. But you're only going to need the edge.
I mean, I know, for this particular, including 2 hours. What you paid for the chair you're sitting on, or the couch,
and the television, the, your the, internet service,
or the plane flight, whatever it may be.
I mean,
be.
Also you have full access to the Llama Llama show.
That's true.
And not only the movie Boss Baby, but in fact the Boss Baby animated series.
Oh, which just wow! What. Not, I mean, obviously you're mentioning all the high
with
quality,
none of the original,
the highest
actors.
Quality Netflix material.
Just talking about the stuff that gets watched in my house. All
right, right.
We've watched it all.
Not Jessica Jones or
I have children.
The Office on repeat.
Well, we've already done that. We've gone through The Office twice. It's enough.
So who's in this movie then?
So yeah, so let's talk about the cast. So the cast of this movie, there's one person who does septuple duty.
Yes.
Noomi Rapace.
Yes.
She is, for those of you who are like, oh, who is she? She sounds familiar. She's from Prometheus. She's the main character in Prometheus.
She was also the original girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yep. So
the non-American one.
Yeah. And she's in one of the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock movies.
Yes. She also was in another movie we watched.
Yeah, actually, she's in a movie we just watched. She's in Bright.
What a nice sandwich.
Actually, that's funny because there was an actor who was in Bright who was also in Crouching Tiger too.
That's as well.
Yeah,
that's true.
So that's interesting.
What a
she's one of the elf ladies. Bookends. She's the evil elf lady in Bright.
What nice bookends for this month. But like, kudos to her.
She plays seven different people.
A lot of stuff in this movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Orphan Black situation.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
it's twins that have different personalities, but it's, or you know, duplicates.
There's seven ladies who have very distinct personalities.
And so here's they do a really, really good job, not just with, obviously, with her acting, she really, you are convinced that it's seven different people, but also like the costuming and hair and makeup, everybody has their own personality.
Yes.
And they do a good job of kind of shorthanding it, where you don't have to have an extensive backstory for each one of them.
No.
You just can look at their outfits and sort of know, okay, she's the sporto, she's the shut-in nerd, she's the sort of like damaged, barely hanging together one. Like everybody has their own their own sort of thing, and you can immediately, just as soon as you see them, get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought that was really well done. I'm kind of impressed. I don't know, like, you know, I think about creating characters and coming up with character designs every so often.
Yeah.
And like, whoever did that, like, good job.
Yeah.
Holy
crap.
Solid.
Well done.
Like you can tell immediately when you meet him, like, oh, okay, I know which one's Sunday. I know which one's Saturday. You know, and Monday is obviously the super put together one. No, it's good. Saturday's got the bleach blonde, platinum blonde hair.
Right.
It's like the short bob cut.
Turns out though, not as much of a party girl as we thought.
Yeah.
Big talk.
Big talk. Well, you know, it's just the one night. So
I mean, she has to be home by midnight too.
Yeah,
that's the other thing that's weird.
Oh yeah, is that everybody has to be home by midnight because
the way this plan works is they have to be home by midnight because only one of them can be out of this apartment at a time. They like
because there's this draconian like Apple Watch situation where you have to badge in everywhere with your watch and everybody knows who you are.
All of this is a ham-fisted segue, but we're doing all of this set up and orchestrated by actor Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe shows up in the movie in flashbacks.
Can you imagine being Noomi Rapace and being like, I get to be in a movie with Willem Dafoe,
nope.
And then you never see him.
Yeah. Yeah, because her story takes place
close,
in the present,
but, yes.
But Willem Dafoe's story is entirely done in flashbacks.
Yeah, and he like comes up with this whole system to keep them all and like hacks the little Apple Watch devices for them to walk. It's... like every like we were talking about, every question is answered. Every like, well, how are they going to get through the Apple Watch scanner?
Yep. Boop, yeah,
there's seven identical ones that all have the same.
You see him soldering it. No, it's
so well done,
and it's not like exposition heavy either.
No.
Every time the plot is moving forward while something is being explained.
Yeah, absolutely. It works really, really well, and the movie also delivers on things. You're like, oh, wouldn't that be cool if that happened? And it does. We'll talk about that when we get to the action sequences.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one where Matt was, my roommate was like, what if she did this? And then she did it. And we're like, yeah, we're smart. And I also kind of at that point called the end of the call. I'm not being like, I called it, I'm smarter in the movie, but I'm like, oh, this seems like it might be the thing.
Oh yeah.
And then it kind of makes more sense as it goes on. And then, so of course we also have a Glenn Close who plays like this government.
Well, it's like she's the head of this child detection agency. That's not it. That's the
what
name
was it
of
called?
The,
it was called
Child Detection Agency for Monsters Incorporated.
Child
something Bureau. Child Allocation
Bureau or something like that. Call the cab.
It's the old like, you know, you have to submit for government approval
to
have kids. That whole draconian way to, you know, fascism. But but yeah, so she's the head of that, and she's like the face of that. So she's just pure evil the whole time. You know, she's the it's the Dolores Umbridge character from Harry Potter, in that she is doing these unspeakably evil things,
right,
and smiling and telling you it's the right thing the whole time.
Yeah.
It's the best kind of villain, because you just hate her guts, and yes, she's irredeemable.
Yeah.
And when it's exposed at the end that she hasn't been freezing all of these kids to wake up in a better, brighter future where there's more space on the planet, she's just been straight murdering them, turning her into a mass murderer. She said, well, they didn't suffer.
Will it hurt? That was messed up.
What a monster.
Well, then they do that. They actually, in the beginning of this movie, they do put Chekhov's gun in there, and it goes off.
Yeah.
And it goes off well.
Oh, man, there's so many.
I feel like there are multiple Chekhov's guns.
There are. There's also literally a gun.
Literally a Chekhov's gun. But that one with the little girl, ooh, that's messed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was the part I was like, ooh, this movie's, again, a movie with some sort of child endangerment.
Yeah,
I was
worried. This is another movie with child danger.
Ryan's favorite topic.
Yeah, they get it. Let's talk about some of the other people in the cast. Sure. I mean, really, they blew their whole budget on those three.
Yeah.
And so we have Marwan Kenzari. He's on the show Ben-Hur, or no, the remake of the movie. He's in the remake of the movie Ben-Hur. He's in Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay.
Did you see that?
No, I did not.
It seemed so star-studded it was impossible.
I'm going to go ahead and say talent bomb.
Is that what it was? Okay, well, he was in it too. He's in the
Welcome
movie.
To the basement.
He's in this movie Wolf. Yes. About a kickboxer, but he's not the kickboxer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in the new Mummy.
Yeah.
He's like one of those actors who's been everywhere in the past couple of years, and mm-hmm. he's gonna just continue to be. And it looks like he's basically just started in the last couple of years working mm-hmm. in English speaking movies. He's mm-hmm. been in a lot of, looks like, Dutch and French and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he was good. He plays the sort of
security officer.
Yeah, he's like a security officer who,
spoiler,
has a relationship with one of the sisters.
Yeah.
And also, like, he's the one who doesn't, the one person who doesn't betray anybody else
yeah.
in this movie, who's not one of the sisters.
It's true.
Even the sisters betray each other. But
of them does.
It's I guess they're spoiling it, but like, it's a mystery. At one point, you're like, well, is he going to, like, who's he going to go with? Which side is he going to be on?
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of twists where there are multiple times where you have to figure out, oh, shoot, is this guy going to be on the bad side or the good side?
Yeah.
And then there's a different bad side. Oh, is he going to choose that side over this side?
Yeah.
And it's pretty, he does a good job.
Does have a lot of twists and turns in it. But in the middle of the movie, when she goes to that, like, skeezy coworker's house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's like this, there's this document that you like, the document you signed. It's like, wait a minute. That's what I was
I saw one of them sort of coming. I was like, oh, I bet she betrayed her sisters.
Yeah, I bet she
but
like
then,
sold them
but
out.
Then I liked that it wasn't just a pure betrayal.
No,
but there
it wasn't.
Was
it wasn't
one,
for
like,
entirely selfish reasons.
There was legitimate motivations behind it, but also it wasn't intended to be as much of a betrayal as it became.
Yeah,
and so like it was good. All the characters are relatively complex. Nobody is just totally black and white. No. Even Glenn Close, the total villain, is trying to do the thing that she thinks is best.
Yeah. No, like that, and that's what really makes an intriguing character is that, and really a good villain, is that someone who thinks that they are doing the right thing, even though it's the wrong thing,
yeah.
and will defend it in a way that like they can justify it. And for a moment, like I don't agree with what Glenn Close did, but she's technically not wrong. They didn't suffer. Like, that's a terrible thing to say, but she's right. They didn't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but that's not, doesn't make it right.
You still,
like,
still killed them.
You still murdered a bunch of people. Yeah. A lot of people. If you haven't guessed, the rest of the premise of the movie is every day they go out and come back at this right time, but one day Monday doesn't come back. And they're like, well, what happens? And so every day they kind of go off, and basically every single one of them is almost all of them are marched to their deaths, essentially.
Well, yeah, and it's great because, like, the most, like, emotionally fragile one is Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, Tuesday, you don't get to find out what happened on Monday and you need to go.
Yeah.
And it right there, you're like, oh, man, like, why did it have to be this one?
Yeah.
You know, and there's this strong hint that like, even though they could switch days, like, they really resist doing it. It's like a, you don't switch
they
days.
They don't like,
kind of
yeah, doing that. Well, and there are moments in this movie that turns out, like, that are really smart, well done.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Monday, why are you so sick?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was like,
that's another Chekhov's gun that doesn't get fired until way later.
Yeah,
and you could miss it completely, and the movie still works.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I must have ate bad. What is it, rat they had to eat?
Yeah,
good
yeah.
Lord, oh boy, I don't want to live in that hellscape. I'm like, I'm glad. That's the first movie where I thought, I'm glad I'm gonna die one day. Oh boy, I sure hope energy isn't really recycled into new people, because no, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they must have had they must have had several body doubles.
Oh yeah,
like they must have several. You know, basically like you, as long as you're shot from the back, you're
yeah.
good, because there are so many scenes, and it's really. It doesn't seem like they built the whole apartment in CG and then mm-hmm. green screened the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. No.
I feel like the budget was too low for that. I feel like yeah. they just did an apartment and they're like, all right, we're just gonna have to plan our shots and think about it.
What a great, yeah. What a apartment. They gave that apartment so much character. Like it works so well.
It's like this cool, like rundown building kind of a situation.
Speaking of character, there's a certain character that is a common movie trope in this movie. Would you not say? A common movie trope that we talk is a ham-fisted segue again.
Sure, sure, do it.
A common movie trope that we talk about every episode, which is the MacGuffin.
Yeah,
MacGuffin is an Alfred Hitchcock filmmaking term basically it is the driving force of the movie. It's usually an object, or sometimes it's a person. We use it a little more loosely on the definition. We should just stop saying it. You know what? We're calling it a MacGuffin. Art is subjective.
The only
forget
reason
you,
we
three star guy.
Yeah, come on, man. Leave us an iTunes review, somebody.
It was probably 10K. He's like, I had to change my whole entire, I got a new iTunes account.
Leave us a new iTunes review.
Anyway, yes.
The MacGuffin in this movie is in the title of the movie.
Yeah,
it's Monday.
Like, the title poses a question, and it
and the movie does eventually answer it.
Yeah, it does.
And it's great because it's not one of those, it's not like a Lost movie or something like that where it leaves... I don't feel like it leaves an obvious sequel or anything like that, but
no.
At the same time,
it's like a solid,
like everything gets wrapped up, but it's not like tied in a nice bow.
No,
it's just, you just have answers to your questions, whether or not you like them.
Well, and the ending is very like, well, we'll see what happens. And
well,
like,
the ending is kind of like, oh, it's a whole new world and a whole bunch of people died.
But also a whole bunch of babies are now being allowed
to
live.
Yeah, it's like, we're just going to deal.
Let's see what happens.
Figure
Let's
it
deal
out.
With it.
Yeah.
You would have thought somebody would have been like, space travel.
Well,
really need to
space
invest
travel
in
expensive.
Space travel.
What about underwater?
Yeah, there we go.
Just give humans gills.
Well, it seemed like even water was rationed.
Yeah, I mean, salt water is different. But
right,
I mean,
I know, but they can desalinize that now.
It's expensive. And it's
again,
difficult.
If we don't have any
all
other
right,
water
all right.
resources.
We're not talking about how our world is slowly
coming. Well, I mean, that's a big proponent of the movie. But
obviously
the MacGuffin in this movie is Monday.
Yeah.
She disappears.
And the whole goal of the movie after that is to
figure out what happened.
And then we also have there's another guy we didn't talk about who's sort of like the bulldog, like Glenn Close, the bulldog, whose goal is to kill all of the sisters.
Yes.
And so he's sort of a constant nuisance in the movie. But he is also, thanks to that, there are a lot of good action sequences.
Yeah. Oh,
which
man.
We were about halfway through this movie and I was kind of like, it's supposed to be an action movie, I thought.
And then
it
would
have been pretty suspenseful.
And then it happens. And then they raid the apartment.
And then they raid, some sort of paramilitary SWAT type team raid the apartment.
So excited. Every time one of them would hit, because all the sisters are there like, what do we do? There's one gun that goes missing.
Yep.
It's not there. So like, what do we do? Improvised weapons.
Oh,
that's
man,
we
I
do.
Love improvised weapons fight
oh,
scenes.
I do too.
It's not Jackie Chan level.
No,
but
no, by
it
no
is.
Means.
But it is still excellent. It is still the kind of fight scene where somebody grabs a pot of boiling water and throws it on a guy's face, and then uses the pot to swipe away a
oh,
knife.
Oh man,
and
I was just every time they would get, I was like, get him, yeah. I was like a obnoxious person in a movie theater, just being like, yeah, get him.
Well,
like,
and
I was
also,
so into it. I
and
was
also like
it.
The movie. Is consistent. It's not like suddenly all seven of these sisters are martial arts experts.
No.
They're scrapping.
The only one that really can fight is the one who's
Sporto.
Like the Sporto one.
Yeah.
Thursday, I think, is the
okay,
Sporto,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
With the short hair.
Yeah.
She's the
one who like goes with for the crowbar first.
Yeah.
And then, oh man, but that part though, that's so brutal where that she like makes him trip on the knife, like opens the kitchen door on this guy who's got like a kitchen knife.
Oh yeah.
At one point, like just at the perfect moment, and he like falls and stabs himself right through the eye. Oh, man. That was brutal. It's great. Or when, yeah, I love that part where she hits him with the iron and the iron like explodes, not explodes, but like just bursts into
breaks
pieces.
Apart,
oh,
and she's
so
like
good.
Standing there holding the broken iron.
Oh, it's so great. This movie's great.
It's really the fight scenes are really fun.
Yeah, and then we get an awesome parkour scene like right after that.
Oh yeah, where she's running across.
She's like
rooftop.
Running across rooftops and buildings and stuff. That's the scene. That's the part right before that where the movie delivered, because they make a point earlier in the movie that one of the girls, I think it was Thursday, right? Thursday snuck out one time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When she wasn't supposed to be out. So and she went skateboarding. And she hurt her finger to the point that the little finger, or index, is like index
yeah,
finger,
the tip of her index finger
was like barely hanging
off.
On by
and
a thread.
So then Willem Dafoe cuts the tip of every of the
little
girl's
finger
off. Ugh.
And all the guns in this movie, because it's the future, are like ID'd based on your fingerprint.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how they know not to fire if somebody else picks it up. They have that multiple times in the movie where it's like somebody like they'll pick up one of the guns and doesn't
and the
fire.
The light on the gun turns red and can't shoot with it.
Right. So there's a point where they think this one of these their sleazy coworker who's like kind of a jerk to them he's like, I'm on to you at one point. So they're like, oh no, he must have told
but
on
he's
us.
Not onto what
onto
they think he is.
No.
He's just an idiot.
He's just a skeez. Yeah. And so they go to his apartment to hold him up and the SWAT team arrives
and they
kill
totally
that guy.
Kill that dude.
And then so she, and so Thursday's there and she has to like strangle. Well, no, it was not Thursday.
It's Thursday because Thursday.
No, Thursday's the one who makes it all the way to the end.
Right.
This was Thursday's the one with the short hair. This was, I think, Wednesday.
Yeah,
Wednesday.
This is Wednesday. She's the sporty one.
She's the sporty one. When
Thursday
is like
the goth.
No, I thought the no was she.
Yeah.
Oh well, doesn't
she's
matter.
Got short hair and she hates everything.
Point is, Wednesday is there. One of the seven sisters is there. And she like chokes out this guy, kills him with a
shower hose.
Shower hose.
Yeah.
Great. And then she's like. And then she sees the gun there and hears all the other soldiers. And Matt's like, wait a minute. What if she, and we're like, shh. I'm like, shh, shh.
And she totally cuts the dude's
finger off.
She
totally cuts the dude's finger off.
Sticks a needle in the
fingertip. Sticks a needle in her
finger,
in a fingertip and onto her
hand. No. And then she tapes it onto her finger.
Oh,
and then
she can use the gun.
The machine gun.
Oh my God. I was like, genius. Genius. Well done.
And then I was disappointed when she took the finger off.
I was like, don't take that off. Just leave it on there forever. Like, that's your finger now.
That's gross.
But like, what a genius idea. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like not that losing that finger worked on two different, they found a way to make it work on two different levels. With so many movies nowadays, don't do this.
Well, yeah, because it
this is a well-scripted,
it works
done movie.
From an emotional level, because basically, like, she feels bad. Because her impulsivity hurt all of her sisters.
Right.
And so now she wants more, but she knows, like, I have already hurt everybody once. I will never do it again.
Right.
I will just suffer and I hate it.
Yeah.
And then, and so that's like this huge element of sort of the bonding between them. And she's the black sheep in a sense, because it's her fault that everybody else got hurt.
Right.
They get their finger cut off, which is so messed up. And then I love that later you see Willem Dafoe and he's just like sobbing in his room.
Yeah, because you don't want to have to do that. You can do that
like,
six times.
Oh man, that's what would happen.
Oh man.
But then being able to use in the action sequences like that is just it's just like icing on the cake.
Again,
man,
that's just like a well done use of the world and the things you have established to do something cool and neat. Like, I don't know which version came first, which was the idea that, like, one suffered,
yeah.
so they all have to suffer, or the idea of, hey, wouldn't it be neat
if we cut up the fingertip.
I feel like it's the former came first.
And it's
the
like,
latter.
How can we explain that?
That's cool that, like, they could do something like that. And then she's running around on buildings, running around, and, like, at the same time, there are, like, people, there's somebody from the government agent dude who turns out to have been dating Monday, was showing up at the apartment, and he's like,
everybody's freaking out about
they're like, who the hell? Who's this guy?
And he's like, it's me. And she's just kind of like, yeah. And it's funny because it must be that.
Well, because they put Saturday out there because, like, you're the one who has most experience
with,
like, men.
With dudes.
Turns out she doesn't.
Oh, man. I really like.
By the way, there is a very adult scene in this movie.
Oh, yeah. This movie is. If this was rated, it would be rated R.
Yeah. If not more than that, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
It's not quite as bad as Blood Rain bad.
No.
This is more tastefully done.
And it's much shorter.
Yes.
But yeah, there's definitely some sexy times in this movie.
Yeah, there is.
But
did your wife look over, did Rosie look over at you?
I actually sort of anticipated that scene happening and saying, look, Ian didn't pick this movie.
Emily did.
But she was like, yeah, but he would have.
I mean, I didn't not like the scene.
Okay. That's enough about that. But I one of the things that I sort of like about the premise, and I think that they do a good job with, is that everybody would sort of look at this character, the character that they all inhabit, Karen, mm-hmm. which is their like outside name. Mm-hmm. Everybody would see her as kind of this sort of like aloof weirdo that nobody's really close to. Like
yeah.
when she goes to work and her relationship with the security guy, they're kind of like, well, like I can't get close to you. And it's definitely like I'm definitely bad enough at people's names and faces that I've met people multiple times and I'm like, man, I definitely know who you are, but I have no idea who your name is or why I know you or where I know you from.
Right.
Where it's just like, hey, man, how's it going? And you have those like total no value conversations with people. Yeah. And I'm sure that every single one of them is a master at it.
Well, here's the thing.
And so it's great when you see them interact with other people. It's a brief scene when you see Monday, like in the office, or when Tuesday's in the office and her assistant's like, didn't see you much last night. She's like, oh, yeah, I went out. She's like, oh, I can't believe you went out. She's like, yeah, where did I go again? And it's definitely like, oh, her assistant's probably super used to this. Like, oh, man, what a freaking idiot. Like,
yeah. No,
you went to the same bar go to every Monday night.
My favorite thing is it seems almost like Monday set the tone for who this person would be.
Because
Monday seems the most like Karen.
Yeah,
it was just her fake name, which is like quiet, banal, kind of lame.
Yeah.
And then
just
like,
or sort of basic, just keeps just kind of like a Monday.
Like a person. Just a person. Just a person that exists.
Yeah. I mean, and it kind of works because you got to have the one control, the generic.
Right.
One.
And they also do a good job, too, of explaining, I'm mentioning this, like this whole Willem Dafoe plan that he sets out, too. Like not only the finger part, but they also have these seven little matching communiques. And you're thinking, well, that must be awful for you know, that must be terrible for the Monday through Friday. Those kids got to go to school every week. And I bet the weekend ones are going to be dumb. Ah, they solved that problem by being like, well, at the end of every day, we're going to have like a recap session of what happened during the day. And they're going to show video footage of what happened.
Yeah.
So you guys all are on the same page. I'm like, wow.
Answer that sounds that exhausting.
But that dealt with the plot. But my point is they dealt with the plot hole.
Yeah. No, like, true.
They dealt every question like that.
Can you imagine having to do that?
Every year.
I don't. I would be like, so today for breakfast I had.
In this day and age, Ryan, we have cameras everywhere all the time. True. So all you have to do
Instagram my breakfast. It was two hard-boiled eggs and a bowl of honey bunches.
And obviously, as they get older, they probably do it less and less. But yeah, they have like a wrap-up session every night to kind of sync versus what happened that day. I'm great. They do a good job of
explaining. And they've got like a cool mirror that points out all of the things that are different compared to how they should look. Yeah. And they do all the makeups and stuff.
Oh man, when they all get in that fight too, it's really brutal. Like it's like, oh, forget this. So Wednesday's running around. She gets taken out. Every time someone leaves, you're like, they're not coming back.
Well, you're like, oh, no. Like she's going to make it. Oh, no.
She's not.
Like it.
She almost makes it.
You never know.
She almost makes it.
You never know which one of the sisters is going to live or die, which is a pretty good feeling.
Well, they do this part where Wednesday's going to have to jump between two roofs that's actually on the cover on Netflix. And you see her go. She's jumped. She makes the jump. And she's like, you're like, she's going to do it. And then right then, the main bad dog comes out. You're like, oh, no. Like on the other roof. Yeah. You're like, oh, man. And then she's just hanging there. And he just... boom.
He just
shoots her in the head. Like it's rough. Like I got emotional, not like cry, but I was like, oh man. Like every time someone leaves that apartment, I'm like, they're not coming back.
Yeah.
They're not coming back. There's no way. And then like even the blonde sister, she gets murdered.
Okay. Don't spoil the whole thing.
Come on.
Everybody gets killed except for,
well, it turns out Tuesday's still alive.
Yep. But she's missing an eye.
Oh man. That was a brutal scene too. She's like video chatting with them on this guy's computer. And she's like, I love boom.
You're like, oh, we watched her die. So messed up.
Oh man.
So it's a really good movie. It's really fun. We've just spoiled the entire thing.
Oh, it's great. But we assume you go into this having watched it and now wanting to hear what we think.
That's how this podcast works, our hope is.
In our mindset. Yeah. We spoil it for you.
So I wanted to talk for a minute about sort of expectations of this movie.
Sure.
Because I've been thinking a lot about movie expectations recently.
Oh, no. This is going to lead into Back at the Ranch, isn't it?
Yeah, it might. I mean, not just with Ready Player One, but also with, because we've watched four Netflix movies in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And going into a Netflix movie, you, whether or not you think about it, you expect something different than walking into a movie.
Sure,
theater.
You have an unconscious bias.
Putting on an Avengers movie, you have certain expectations about a movie that are different than putting on a Harry Potter movie. Or, you know, it's just, there's just something about, I'm going to watch this movie on Netflix. I found this movie on Netflix. I'm just going to watch it. There's this, at least with everybody that I've talked to, they're just feeling like, oh yeah, well, it's just a Netflix movie. Like, Netflix movies are kind of, in a sense, like this sort of throwaway genre, where it's, or not genre, but like this, like if it's a movie from a Netflix movie, nobody expects it to be good. They just expect it to sort of vaguely entertain them while they check their phone for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And so it's weird when people who are movie reviewers who have spent, you know, a good chunk of their lives trying to get rid of the influence of expectations in movies and go into every movie feeling the same, review movies and say like, yeah, Bright is garbage.
Yeah.
And then people who sit down to watch are like, no, I loved it. It's like, well, you loved it because you expected a Netflix movie and you got a Netflix
movie.
Could
be that, or it could be just their type of movies they like are not the ones that the critics like.
Yeah, but specifically with Netflix movies, I've seen there tends to be a very large discrepancy between critics and viewers.
That's fair.
And so I think part of it is like, this movie is one that I think would have been reviewed pretty well, but I don't think it's like, it's not an award winning movie. It's not
not
a genre creator the same way that John Wick was.
No,
John Wick is the Die Hard of 2014, a Die Hard of the late 2000s or mid 2000s. There are, I can name off the top of my head, two or three movies: Atomic Blonde, Proud Mary, like, there are a whole bunch of movies that exist because John Wick did well.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how every movie in the early 90s was Die Hard in a blank.
Or The Matrix in the 2000s.
Yeah, right. So this movie, this isn't one of those.
No.
But it is good. It's better than a normal Netflix movie, but everybody's going to go and be like, yeah, you know it's
a Netflix
what
movie. I liked about it? It was a movie. It wasn't, as much as I love those Marvel movies and I like the idea of a shared cinematic universe.
It wasn't the season finale of Avengers.
No, it was its own thing. And I was like, I think I said it after. I was like, how refreshing was that? It was just like to watch a movie that had a story that ended and now it's over and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of nice. As much as I love all those Marvel movies and I love the idea of a shared comic universe movie, I still think there needs to be movies that exist on their own.
But yeah.
What I'm saying is Marvel's the one that everybody does that for. Like, yeah. I love watching Star Wars movies. I love watching
Fast and Furious
Marvel
movies.
I like these. These are fun. But
Harry Potter
universe
movies.
Ones that exist on their own. I like ones that are just one. Not only Oscar movies have to exist on their own. There could be some that are just a cool action movie, and that's the end of it.
Yeah. I think this is one of those. It's one you just put on.
Exactly.
And it's good, and it's fun, and then it's over.
So, final thoughts on this then, Ryan? This is
the best Netflix original movie we watched.
I agree. I would say if you're going to watch any of them, watch this one.
Watch this one, no question.
Absolutely.
Encourage your friends to watch this one. This is the kind of movie that, like, without word of mouth, this movie, nobody would watch it.
Yeah, it's great. I was surprised how much I enjoyed
it. It's real good. It's one of the best Netflix original anythings that I've seen.
More of this,
and I've watched, like, 5 seasons of Voltron.
Yeah.
Which I really like, and a whole lot of kid shows, so many, and a little bit of I finally started season 2 of Series of Unfortunate Events.
Man, I love that show. It's so good. It's like a good, like, I just put on, like, I can enjoy the story of this and just kind of zone out because it hits the right wheel for me. It, like, speaks to the little bit of the goth kid that is inside me,
but
it's not
like that,
too much so.
No, but it has like that, like, you know, that sarcastic theater kid feel.
Yeah. Oh, you know what it is? It's because of the showrunner.
Yeah.
Who did the Addams Family movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got that sense of humor, which is humor I grew up on. Yeah. So I like that type
but,
of humor.
But final
but anyway.
Thoughts on this movie. This is really good. This is the cream of the crop
on
Netflix, man.
I would agree. This is like the best example of a Netflix movie.
You should watch it. This is a movie that I don't think would have done awesomely in theaters because
it would have been this weird
black sheep because it doesn't have any big stars.
It would have only if by word of mouth.
Yeah. It would have been one of those movies that makes more money the second weekend it's out.
Either that or one of the movies that does really good when it comes to
a really
home.
Good home video.
Yeah. And cut out
the
middleman.
Boom.
Exactly.
Netflix.
Yeah.
So see it. It costs you nothing if you already have a Netflix account.
Yeah.
And if not, like, how do you not have Netflix?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on.
Exactly. I understand. Okay.
Cancel your cable.
Out of 10, Ryan.
Man, I want to
As far as a Netflix movie, it's a 10 out of 10.
It's a 10 out of 10. As far as just a sort of trying to pseudo-objectively rate movies, it's really good. I mean,
for me, it's either a 9 or an 8. It's
yeah, like I feel like I was 5, targeting 8, so I'm going to go with 8.
8 what?
I'm
not going to... Nobody's allowed to say 7 and say 7 days of the week.
All right, with Sisters.
No, because there wasn't 8 of them.
Yeah.
8 what?
See, now it's too hard. We already used the one that I want. 8 children who think they're getting frozen who get burned alive.
Dang it, that's the one I was gonna take. That's fair. And I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna probably give it a 8 as well. I'll give it 8. 8 what? That's so tough.
Right?
Fingertips
used to shoot
yeah,
down.
Sure. 8 fingertips that were cut off by Willem Dafoe, because I imagine maybe he felt bad and did it to himself too.
Yeah, right.
He's like, okay. And so Blockbuster,
it's definitely Blockbuster.
No question. Blockbuster. Check this out. It's a great movie. This isn't one where you can like, I mean, you can't put it on the background, but this is like an actual fun movie. Dedicate some time. Give this movie
some time. It's one of those movies that if you half watch it, you're going to get it and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you fully watch it, there's enough clever bits that you're going to pick up on what's happening faster, but you're not going to be like, oh, well, I know what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is our discussion of the movie. And now we move into Back at the Ranch, discussion topic.
Yeah, man.
Section.
I finally saw Black Panther.
You did?
Yeah.
About time.
Oh, man.
And?
I thought it was great. I loved it. It's the movie that it is the best. I might say it's the best Marvel movie.
I know. I read your review on Letterboxd.
My Letterboxd review that I wrote while I was driving this morning. I mean, legally, I wrote it while the car was parked. it was really good. I think the thing that it does better than any other Marvel movie is it makes you care about the characters more.
Yeah.
And the emotional, like the emotional stakes.
Even the villain. The villain even it makes you care about.
Killmonger was right. And so you're like he's
he was right in idea but not in execution.
No, right, correct, absolutely.
Spoiler, if you haven't seen Black Panther.
That said, though, I think that Marvel has fully tapped the secret family member come back to haunt you villain trope. Yeah. So they're gonna have to start doing something different.
Yeah,
because they did it in Thor and they did it in this, and this was arguably better.
Yeah,
but. Man, and the acting in this movie is really good. It looks really cool. Not crazy about the final fight scene when they're just CGI fighting on the CGI train track in the CGI world.
Yeah.
But Marvel tends to have bad final fight scenes. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed. Guardians 2 did that too.
Yeah.
But boy,
I mean, they also have really good ones too, like that don't involve fights.
Yeah.
Like a dance off.
Yeah. No, you're right. That was the first Guardians. No, but I think that this one. Oh man, I really, 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 really liked it.
I did. I really enjoyed it as well. I remember seeing it. It was good. Here's the thing. Like people, like I don't tell people like because there's some people like, is it really that good? I'm like, I really enjoyed it. That's what I said because I did enjoy it. Do I think it's the best Marvel movie? I don't know, but it's definitely up there. I think the one thing it does do well is it doesn't require you to have seen every other Marvel movie in order to enjoy.
True.
I've enjoyed it.
It doesn't even require you to have seen Civil War, which is the only one that you like. If you are like, I want all the backstory, okay, you got to watch Civil War. But
you can go into this blind,
and it still works.
Yeah.
I guess technically you'd have to watch Age of Ultron too, because that's where Gollum shows up for the first time. What's his actual name?
Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way.
I lean over my wife, I'm like, that's Gollum. She's all no.
Yes, it is. Ulysses Claw.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That hand, right? We also saw another movie. Few weeks ago. Okay. I have to preface this.
We tweeted about it.
We watched Ready Player One.
Yeah. Hey.
I'll give a light review because both these movies I do want to go
Did
back
you see
and watch
it twice?
Official. I've only seen it once.
Okay.
Both these movies I do want to go back and do like official episodes on, so I don't want to give everything away. But I didn't care for it the first time watching it. I didn't care for Ready Player One. Now, it could have been a multitude of reasons. A, most likely I had a really bad day that day that we went to go see Ready Player One. And so my expectations went from being like very low to being like, this movie better be really good or it's going to be the nail in the coffin on this bad day. And it was the nail in the coffin because it wasn't as good as my expectations were. It felt kind of like a dumbed down version of the book. But then again, what am I expecting released by a major studio for a major audience? I should have known. I told myself for months, Leopardon's not going to be in it. And I knew Leopardon wasn't going to be in it, which is a Japanese robot from the Spider-Man Japanese show.
Yeah, but Spider-Man Sentai show.
I think in retrospect, looking back on it, I think the movie works, but I think the book is more fleshed out. That being said, both are very cheesy. And I was ready for the cheese factor of the book, and the book is cheesy. This is like, you know, when you order Domino's
like
on the
Velveeta.
No, you know how they order on the Domino's
Velveeta
app?
Is not even cheese. It's just cheese.
You know
flavoring.
How you order Domino's on the Domino's app? And this is the one. No, this is the one thing the Domino's app does smart, and I swear this is going somewhere. Very end when you're ordering your pizza, they go, hey, you want some extra cheese with that? And one of the options is no or yeah, cheese it up. And I feel like somebody was Domino's app in this movie. Cheese it up. More cheese.
If you follow Ian on Twitter, you can tell when he's ordered Domino's pizza,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, if it says, so I'm having pizza. So there's that. I set it up a thing with if this, then that. It's with Domino's API to every time I place a Domino's order via the app.
I don't know if you've noticed, but every time we tweet that, I text you and say, enjoy your pizza.
Yeah, I know I have.
I thought about setting that up on if this and that.
You should. if this person tweets this, tweet this. That's great. Here's what I say. Go see it. It's fun. Expect a popcorn movie. Expect some explosions, some bright colors. It's dumb fun. I think that's what Ryan said too. Like it's dumb, but it's fun.
My review and the thing that I stick by is that
I was angry. I'm not angry anymore. Yeah. I'm not angry anymore.
I said the movie is big, dumb, fun, and I mean each one of those words individually and all of them together.
Yeah.
It's big, it's over the top, it's dumb as a bag of rocks.
The action
it is really fun.
The action sequences in there, like they're fun.
CG
everywhere. But they are silly. Dumb fun, and they're enjoyable. It's a good popcorn movie where you just turn off your brain and enjoy it. It's not one that's going to make like the book. I feel like as cheesy it is, kind of also makes you think a little bit.
Yeah.
This does not require you to think at all.
My biggest criticism of the movie is that they wanted to make a movie about 80s nostalgia. And so they have a guy directing it who does not have any nostalgia for the 80s. Because he was too busy
making
all
the
stuff.
Yeah, he made
the
stuff.
So they're making a movie about video games directed by a guy who's never played them.
Or not, well, or at least
a movie that's
grow
a love letter to
video
games with a
guy
who
didn't
never
grow
who
up
didn't
with
grow
them.
Up with
he
them.
Didn't live.
I just think it'd be a really, really different movie if it was made by a younger director.
You know who I?
But
know I, who
I
think
but I also
been fun to make
think
it?
That it would have been a different movie if we didn't have the place spot the reference.
Let me ask you this. Who would you have rather directed this movie?
I'm still trying to think about it.
I think Edgar Wright would be a solid choice.
Edgar Wright never would have done it.
I know he wouldn't have, but it would have been fun.
But he would have been a fun choice. J.J. Abrams also would have been a fun choice.
J.J. Abrams
those movies,
probably would have been a solid,
It would have been terrible in different ways.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I think J.J. Abrams is like the most probably get.
J.J. Abrams, maybe Joss Whedon, but I think that Joss Whedon doesn't have the video game thing going
I don't think
him.
So. But here's the one thing I think.
Maybe
I know
Duffer
for sure.
Brothers.
There was never any other option but Steven Spielberg. He bought the rights to this before the book even came out.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
I think that the Duffer Brothers, because they're already really
people,
good at that 80s.
Hey, a lot of people
thing.
Really, really like
those
the movie.
The guys who
I'm definitely in the minority on this. A lot of people really enjoy it, have a fun time.
And people I know who have talked to are like, no, you know what? I really liked it. I'm like, okay. I just thought it was
and
big, dumb fun. Go see it if you like it.
So, yeah. I don't know. Anything else at Back at the Ranch we want to talk about?
No. So what are we watching next time?
What are you
subjecting me to?
Well, Ryan, since April is the month of my birth, and I feel like I should be able to at least choose one movie.
Uh-huh.
I saw accidentally a trailer for a movie. I haven't watched this movie.
Okay.
So we're both going in this blind, but I have watched the trailer for this. On IMDb, it currently has a 5.4 out of 10 and a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sounds like my kind of movie.
But it is a movie from 2014. Called Big Game.
All right.
It is. I'm going to give you the brief. I'm going to give you the Google the Google
the
thing for it. The U.S. President Samuel L. Jackson.
All right.
Must rely on a 13-year-old boy, Oni Tamila, to get him out alive after Air Force One is shot down over Finland as part of a psychopath's plot to hunt and kill the POTUS.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah. And the trailer was like, well, this looks like right up our alley. It looks like dumb, fun action where we don't have to think.
Yes.
So next time we're going to be watching this movie that I have not seen. So we're going to check out 2014's Big Game. So thank you so much for joining us for What Happened to Monday. And join us next time for Ian's one-time birthday present special, because he's 30, of Big Game. And remember,
whether it's Blockbuster
or Lackluster, we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network,
exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.